and it's KVC Arts Now on KVCR Arts and Entertainment, as well as the people and places providing it. I'm David Fleming. This edition of the program welcomes a familiar author from this region in conversation with a name that's no stranger to KVCR.
Welcome. I'm Cassie McDuff, here today with award-winning Riverside author Susan Strait to talk about her new novel, Sacrament. A distinguished professor of creative writing at UC Riverside and a Riverside native, Susan has published 9 novels, acclaimed works of fiction set mostly in the Inland Empire. Her writing appears regularly in The New Yorker, The New York Times, and The Los Angeles Times. Her previous books include High Wire Moon, which was a finalist for the National Book Award and winner of the Commonwealth of California Gold Medal for Fiction, and Mecca, a national bestseller, finalist for the Kirkus Award, and named a Best Novel of the Year by The Washington Post and NPR. Sacrament is set in San Bernardino and follows the lives of 2 nurses battling the coronavirus pandemic at a hospital named Our Lady of Sorrows.
Hi, it's so nice to be here. You know, my favorite drive is to come from Riverside to San Bernardino and to come up Riverside or get off on Mill. So thank you for having me.
I know that drive so well. Talk about Sacrament. Susan, this novel certainly brings back the isolation and desperation of the COVID years. Families separated from their hospitalized loved ones, only able to signal to them from the parking lots outside their windows. The surges that killed so many people, the subvariants that kept cropping up. What made you want to take us back to that time?
Well, I have to admit that when I started the book, I had just finished Mecca, the previous novel that came out 2 years ago, and it ended in August of 2020, and the pandemic was a little part of that book. One of the characters, Johnny Frias, who's a California Highway Patrol motorcycle officer, had dealt with people who had abandoned their cars on the side of the road. And Lorette Embers and Grief Embers, who are the San Bernardino-based characters, she's a nurse in the ICU at the fictional Our Lady of Sorrows, which will remind some Inland Empire people of hospitals here. Her husband, Grief Embers, is an animal control officer, and in the previous book, they both had COVID. But you're right, Cassie, it was a little frightening to think, why do I want to write about this? But I couldn't help myself because the pandemic affected so many people in the Inland Empire. And at one point, our area was 3 in the nation for incidences of the coronavirus. And I lost so many people to corona. And my next door neighbor, Mario Soria, he was in the first 100 people in Riverside County to get coronavirus. Also, a dear friend and neighbor of mine, Jim Calderon, passed away of COVID. And every day I look across the street at his house and I think about his widow, Kristen, who's my neighbor. So I wanted to honor the nurses and the EMTs and the doctors, but also the animal control officers and everyone else who was working. The truth is, the story came to me because there were so many traveling nurses living on my block in Riverside. And I live 3 blocks from Riverside Community Hospital. And these nurses were from Texas, Indiana, South Carolina, Georgia, and they lived in donated RVs in my neighborhood and parked in front of someone's house, or in the case of my street, they rented rooms. Every day they would walk by with their backpacks, you know, in a row, and they would be walking to community hospital because they didn't have cars. And they would work a 12-hour shift, and on the way back in the morning, they would tell me all of the patients they took care of and all of the terrible and magical things that had happened. And I knew I had to write this book.
Have you heard from a lot of nurses since the novel was published?
Oh, I've heard from hundreds of nurses. Nurses have emailed me. They've come to my events in Fallbrook, in San Diego, in Newport Beach. I actually had nurses come to an event in Gainesville, Florida, in Brooklyn, in Sausalito. And nurses, respiratory techs, doctors, EMTs, they all said that they were really grateful that there was a portrayal of what it was like to be wearing all that protective gear and to be the sole conduit for information, as you pointed out, to the families. The hardest part about COVID was that no one could come and visit their loved one. So I know that when my ex-husband had COVID and when my neighbor Mario had COVID, the nurses would FaceTime us. And that was the window into the world. But imagine being a nurse and you have all that PPE on and you have caps and masks and then you're FaceTiming with people. Your entire world is your phone. And then also your own children are missing you or your spouse is missing you or you're worried about your house. It was just remarkable how kind they were and how patient.
Yeah, it really brings home the emotional toll it took on the nurses and other first responders.
Yes. What happened is all these nurses who came to events told me that I captured it so well, and they wanted to know how I knew these intimate details. And I told them I had so many friends who were nurses in Riverside and San Bernardino, and they would tell me everything, like how difficult it is to intubate someone, the process of intubation. I learned everything from listening.
Mm. The setting in and around Our Lady, a stand-in for St. Bernardine, or St. Bees as we know it, that evokes so many places in the Inland Empire that residents here will recognize. For example, the Arrowhead on the side of the mountain above the city, the gravel mine in Lytle Creek Wash, Mitla's, Baseline, Mountain View Cemetery, Camper World, and in Riverside County, the rest stop near Calamasa, Carbon Canyon, Gypsum Canyon, the 241 toll road off the 91. One of the delights of reading your books is being able to visualize these places we all know as you take your characters there.
There's a lot of Riverside County in Mecca, and Coachella shows up as a big part of this book too. One of the nurses, Charisse Martinez, is married to a guy who works at Yamava, back then was San Manuel. And Charisse Martinez was raised in San Bernardino. When he's killed, their daughter is very young. She's only 6. But during COVID, Charisse sends her daughter Raquel out to Oasis to live on a date farm. So I was able to write about Coachella again, which was also in Mecca. That's one of my favorite places to write about.
Well, I wanted to ask you about that because part of the story takes us to a date farm in Indio, and your descriptions of the date varieties, medjool, deglet nor, Barhai, Halawi, Kalal, are so vivid. The different colors and shapes of the different types of date, the way the pickers bring down the bunches from the tall palms and brush them gently to make them shine. It sounds like you spent some time in the date groves. Did you actually go up in a lift and hack down a bunch of dates with a machete, like the character Raquel?
Well, I spent my whole life going out to Coachella because my mom, who was born in Switzerland, thought that the Coachella Valley was heaven because, of course, she grew up freezing and not being able to ever get warm in the Swiss Alps full of snow. So from the time I was 6, she would take us out to Indio in the summertime when it was 120, and she thought that was the best thing ever. So I've been going to that landscape since I was 6 years old, and there is nowhere on earth in some ways that's more beautiful than a date farm in Coachella because the aisles of palms are like a cathedral, and you look up at the sky and you see the fronds, you see the dates themselves. So I've spent my whole life going out there, but I spent the last 20 years writing about Coachella and going out there some of the last 10 years with my photographer friend Douglas McCullough, who passed away earlier this year. He passed away in January. I think when Doug and I went, what was magical is that we did spend hours and hours and hours at one date garden, Brown's Date Garden. And so the Palmero, Mr. Barberin, taught us how to go up and down. I did go up and down the ladder. I have a machete at home from Ecuador. It's a good one, but I did not cut dates with a machete. I did help him pollinate the dates after he harvested the blossoms that's mentioned in the book as well. And then he extracted the pollen and put it in a spray can, and then you pollinate each bunch of dates. But really, when you're a novelist, it's your imagination. So being in the date garden at night, I didn't go up as Raquel did, but I was just stunned by how dark and beautiful it was out there.
If you're just joining us, we're talking with Riverside author Susan Strait about her new book, Sacrament. Did you have a passage you wanted to read us about that experience?
Oh, I would love to. So the character Raquel is only 15, and Charisse, her mom, is a nurse living in Camper World to keep her daughter safe from COVID. So because Raquel is only 15 and she's attending her first year of high school in San Bernardino, and high school has gone virtual in 2020, she's sent out to live with her great aunt who runs a date garden. It's near the Torres Martinez Reservation, and Raquel is, of course, extremely bitter to have been sent away and to be in virtual school. She makes friends with Joey Ortiz, and his dad is the Palmero who works at the date garden. So one night, she goes out with Joey Ortiz, and she remembers that her dad, Ronald Martinez, who was also raised on that date garden, used to harvest dates from this tree. "This is the last one for tonight," Joey's father said, and Raquel had no idea what time it was. He handed her the machete and his leather glove, and he said, "You try one time." "I'll do it," she said, and Joey Ortiz turned off the speaker for his radio, put it in the truck. He stood in the center of the row and Raquel opened the gate and stepped onto the metal mesh platform of the lift. Three sides of a rectangle. She put the machete by her feet, held onto the railing, and she rose slowly into the night air. The bark of the bari trees was not trimmed. The bark was sharp and slanted, slashed fronds from every few years. No way you could put ladders on these. But she looked past the trunks and she saw the Salton Sea. This is a secret, she thought, staring out at the vast shimmering water, which smelled so bad and looked so beautiful. Then there was the sea of trees all around her, fronds tossing in the hot breeze, glinting silvery too. She was at the bottom of heaven. Her dad. Before he died, he had called it that. Her dad had been up here, looking at these same mountains, this same water. These were Lolo's people's mountains. These were my people. Where is my mother, though? I haven't heard from her. She's in the hospital. Breathe, she thought. Just breathe.
Susan, another delight in reading your books is your vivid descriptions and observations of things that we see so often that we cease to even notice them. Here's a passage that evokes the way the summer heat distorts. The asphalt on the cul-de-sac, a black river, rippling with mirage as if thousands of fish were underneath. And here's a patient in the hospital. Gasping for breath, her mouth open like a baby bird's, like all the other mouths, the animal impulse to throw back the head as if the air would slide down better. Very evocative passages, such wonderful descriptions.
Thank you. I love writing the descriptions. It's one of my favorite parts of writing, and my students always love that part too, and yeah. I love to teach how to do lyricism and imagery.
Yeah, to notice the things that we just have seen so often we don't notice them anymore.
That's the writer's job, maybe.
Yes. Tell me about the title, Sacrament. A couple of passages give hints about what that word signifies here. The title of a poem you quote in the book, a shared lunch of fried chicken experienced as a sacrament, the body as a temple being desecrated by the disease. Why sacrament when you're writing about COVID?
I think as I've traveled around the country talking to people about this book, the hardest part for people to still talk about now with COVID is how the disease took people away at the very moment that someone needed to say goodbye to them. I mean, it's unprecedented that your loved one would be in the hospital in isolation and that you wouldn't see them again before they passed away. And so the people that were there when your loved one was leaving the earth were the nurses and the doctors. This was a huge deal for a lot of my nurse friends that they would talk about how this felt. And I've also had people ask me, how did you write about this? Especially there's a scene where Lorette is singing to someone when he's in a coma. His name is Stan Early in the book, and he's a long-distance truck driver, and he lives in Hesperia. And that's because I was with my real father in Pomona Valley Hospital when he passed away. And so that was an hour-long process. And once you've done that, you never forget what kind of feeling that is, you know, holding someone's hand, even when they're in a coma, and saying the last words they're going to hear. So for me, writing about those moments, people weren't able to get last rites often. The priest had to do that over the phone. And in this novel, which took me 3 years to write this, it's all the people that I knew and loved who passed away and we never got to see them again. And then you couldn't even have a funeral. So one of my favorite scenes in this, while I was working on the idea of this book, in my kitchen in Riverside one day, I heard horses. And I went outside and there were four white horses on Brockton Avenue in Riverside. And I just stood there. The four white horses were pulling a white carriage with glass doors and there was a light blue casket inside. And after that were 30 1964 Impalas, convertible lowriders, and they were all playing Art LeBeau music, the same song. And these were, you know, lowrider guys, big guys driving these Impalas, and they were crying, they were sobbing. And I knew they were headed to the cemetery downtown in Riverside. And so that night I had to start in earnest writing this book because you don't get to say goodbye to somebody. And they had invented a lowrider funeral so that they could all be outside and still say goodbye to their friend. So that scene made it into the book. But the moments of quiet where a nurse is the last person to be with your loved one and you're maybe on FaceTime, that was the sacrament that was given by all the medical professionals.
That's author Susan Strait in conversation with Cassie McDuff, speaking mainly about Strait's newest book, Sacrament, set during the time of COVID. There are many quite serious moments, but also some very pleasant moments as well.
Art LeBeau makes an appearance in your book, too.
He does. My dear, dear friend Art Laveau would have been 100 years old. August 9th, I have a t-shirt that I wear from a show that I did with my friend Angel Rodriguez, Angel Baby, who keeps the Art Laveau show going every night. And Joanna Moronis, who lives in San Bernardino County, is Art Laveau's longtime producer and a dear friend of mine as well. So they continue the Art Laveau show. But Art Laveau was still alive during COVID, and it was such a comfort for people to be able to send dedications. Art Laveau is a huge deal in the book. A lot of characters listen to the Art Laveau show in this novel.
Yeah, and you wrote about him and his producer and the man who now continues his show. You wrote about that for the LA Times. That was a wonderful piece that brought back a lot for people who are longtime listeners.
Yeah, I still listen every night, and so do most of my neighbors. And we laugh because if you think about it, you know, thinking about how Art Laveau brought people together, it was even more important during COVID when people couldn't see each other.
Susan, you carry some of the characters over from earlier novels, the nurses Lorette and Charisse, as you've mentioned, the CHP officer Johnny Frias. Tell us about that choice.
Well, Johnny Frias was one of my favorite characters I ever wrote. And I first wrote about him in 2009 for an anthology called Orange County Noir. And he was the CHP motorcycle officer. And in that story, he was helping track the freeway phantom. And if you're a certain age and you grew up in Riverside, San Bernardino, or Orange Counties, you remember that there was a freeway phantom that used to throw rocks at cars on the 91.
Oh, it was terrifying.
So Johnny Frias, in his first iteration, helps track the freeway phantom, but I couldn't get him out of my mind. And he's based loosely on actually someone who died during COVID. Frank Orta was a great Riverside Police Department motorcycle officer from Casablanca, and Frank passed away during COVID. The character of Johnny is the person I heard the most about from emails from readers around the country. They said, why can't Johnny Frias have love? Why can't he have a woman? He's so sad because his mom passed away. So I actually listened to my readers, and a lot of people wrote about that. So this time I actually thought about why Johnny Frias has been afraid to fall in love. And so I can't give that away, but my readers have been very happy, and now they've been emailing me saying that they're glad he found love.
Yeah, it was wonderful, and I won't give away how it happens, but...
But you can say it begins at the Eagles Lodge in San Bernardino. Their first date is at the Eagles Lodge in San Bernardino, which
yeah.
I love the Eagles.
And it captures all the awkwardness of first dates.
There is nothing as awkward as a first date, no matter what age you are.
That's right. Susan, I'd like to ask you about your process. You teach full-time at UCR. You have a home and a family you take care of. When do you have time to research your stories, let alone write them?
I've never had a routine where I get to wake up at 6 in the morning like, you know, a famous writer who doesn't have all that. I don't get up at 6 in the morning and write until noon, which a lot of my guy friends tell me that they do.
Right.
But since I was young, I've always written by hand, and I always have a legal pad. And the funniest thing is I have a 7-month-old grandson now, but I was there in Oakland when he was born. And the first picture my daughter took of me was I was holding this newborn on her couch, like he was 3 days old and he was sleeping on me. And I have my legal pad on the couch next to me and I'm writing. And she took a picture and she said, oh my goodness, because you wouldn't think it, but I always am thinking about my characters. And this is something I tell my writing students. I think about them all the time, and I'm capable of taking an hour and writing a scene, and then later that night, I'm able to type it into the computer. But I also have to say, I love writing so much that any stray moment I get, sometimes I get to go out to the desert and work at our Palm Desert campus. I'm always able to write in the desert. So yeah, it's definitely something I write every day, but I definitely don't get to sit down at the computer every day.
Yeah, you never know when inspiration is going to grab you, sometimes in the middle of the night. And I know it's handy to have some writing material there, not at your computer.
I have so many legal pads that my children give them to me for gifts. And I think my favorite thing about it is that I try to teach my students, as well as writers I meet wherever, that there is nothing wrong with writing it down. And you might write a few pages. And then once you're typing, the flow comes back and you can remember what you were doing. But I always have music on when I'm writing too. I always have a specific thing I listen to get my brain back in rhythm. So for Mecca, I listened very much to East Side Oldies. It's an Art Laveau type compilation.
Oh.
And then for this book, I listened to a different Art Laveau compilation because there is so much music in this book. Lorette Embers sings to patients in a coma and she sings whatever they request. And the song Desperado is also in here. Someone requests that she sings Desperado. So I listened a lot to the Linda Ronstadt version of Desperado while I was working on this.
Mm. So if you're just joining us, I'm Cassie McDuff for KVCR. We're talking with Riverside author Susan Strait about her new book, Sacrament.
I get asked a lot whether Sacrament is a sequel to Mecca, but really they're companion books. And those readers that I know that like Louise Erdrich, one of my favorite writers, her books feature many of the same characters. So I think of them as companion books. This book starts 3 weeks after Mecca ends, but it's not a sequel. It's got different characters and then some of the same characters. But I think of the landscape as my constant character. And in this book, Johnny Frias lives in Santa Ana, but his dad lives on their family rancho in the Chino Hills, and they still raise cattle. And that rancho is called Rancho Anza, and so it's been around since the early 1800s. And some of my favorite things to write about were how to raise cattle in the Chino Hills. And actually, I learned a lot of that from my friend Dave Rogers, who lives in Rechi Canyon, and another guy who used to live outside of Fontana. So writing about sort of the bygone days of California that are still here was great fun for me. And one of my favorite scenes in the book is when Johnny Frias and his dad have to capture a bull that has escaped and is on the Carbon Canyon Road. And my readers all say, well, how did you learn how to do that? He's a longhorn bull. That was very funny because in San Bernardino, Riverside counties, there's always an escaped bull or an escaped cow, and people really know how to lasso them and get them off the road. So that was quite the set piece that I enjoyed writing about. So I think one thing that I love is writing about Limestone Canyon and off the 241. There's a scene where there are a bunch of teenagers partying during COVID in a fictional canyon, and Johnny Frias has to rescue them. And then we go all the way out to Coachella. I guess I never, ever, ever get tired of writing about our Southern California landscape. You know, Riverside County, Orange County, Los Angeles, and San Bernardino, all the way down into San Diego. I've written things that are set at San Luis Rey Mission. I think when people from outside of California read the work, what they say is, I never knew that Southern California had such beauty to it. And that makes me really happy.
It makes me happy, too, as a native Californian, especially the Inland Empire seems to be either overlooked or misunderstood by so many people who haven't been to this area. I've been here myself almost 40 years now, so not a native to the area, native of Los Angeles, but yeah, it's wonderful, the descriptions. You know, the scene where Johnny meets his love interest and they sit on that hillside on his ranch up in the hills there. I wanted to ask you about the tree and that area where there's a spring or water in these dry, dusty hills. Is that an actual place or is that imaginative?
Oh, that's Two Trees Trail in my mind, which is in the Box Springs Mountain. But there's everything. There's Forest Falls here. There's Etiwanda Falls. But that sycamore tree that's in the novel, it's been there for hundreds of years, and it is in a dry, dusty canyon. But one of my favorite things is when you're from here, you can look up into the mountains and you see that green vein and you know that there's a spring there. So yeah, that was the place that I like to hike, in the Box Springs Mountains. And there's also a really great spring that I know when you're hiking in the Chino Hills. Black Star Canyon is a beautiful place, but the sycamore tree is probably one of my favorite things to write about because that's our native Californian tree. People often write about the palm trees, but I love our sycamores and our cottonwoods, and I love the Joshua trees. Those are our trees too, aren't they?
Yeah, absolutely. And the palms, I'm told, are not even trees. They're actually a form of grass.
Wow. I love our native trees that you can see at all the oases when you go out to Palm Desert and Palm Canyon. Those are beautiful too. But you're right, that is one kind of tree. I think my favorite thing about being a writer from here is this deep love I feel for getting everyone else to know about it. And yes, there are other people writing about this area, but I've been here my whole life. So when I drive around, everything feels fresh and new, and then there's a memory attached. And I like writing that way.
Yeah, I've heard you talk about your experience earlier in your writing career when people questioned whether the things you were describing here could possibly be real. The heat. Tell me about that reaction and how you overcame that and stuck with writing about your place and our places.
I never care what anyone else says about this place. My second novel, Blacker Than a Thousand Midnights, was about a young guy who's a firefighter fighting for California Department of Forestry in the San Jacinto Mountains. And that was a long time ago, Cassie. Gosh, that was 1994. And that was based on stories my brother-in-law told me. He was a firefighter up there in those mountains. And the things he described, rattlesnakes, bobcats, deer, coyotes, hurtling toward him while they were headed into the flames and the animals were leaving the flames. And he said, you know, a mountain lion would run right past you and not even look at you because it was running away and we were running toward. Like, you couldn't make that up. And that was so very distinctly from our mountains. So yeah, I've always wanted to write about that.
They say, write about what you know. You know, Susan, so many books and series have been picked up or gotten interest from Hollywood. Have you experienced anything like that?
Actually, my book, High Wire Moon, was bought some time ago and went through many, many iterations of apparently Hollywood's screenplay process. But Mecca and Sacrament are being considered for a network because one of my favorite people in the world, Jennifer Beals, the actress, fell in love with Mecca, and she and her producing partner, we've met many times about establishing Mecca as a possible limited series. So there is a director attached, a showrunner attached, and I heard from her this morning that she's interested in putting Sacrament in that package too. And that would be great because Johnny Frias, everyone emails me and says, why can't we see Johnny Frias on the screen? And everyone has opinions about who should play him, by the way, Cassie.
I have mental image of what he looks like myself.
All these women write to me and say, well, I think he should be this, and I think this person should play him. But that makes me really happy because a lot of times the depiction of the Inland Empire in movies has been the place where you bury the bodies, all the way back to Raymond Chandler, Lady in the Lake, which was set in a fictional Lake Arrowhead.
Yes.
And it's funny, I'm friends with Walter Mosley. Walter Mosley had a character, of course, come out to find a dead body in a fictional Rubidoux. And the first time I met Walter Mosley, I said, I know exactly what you're talking about. And he said, of course you do.
Right.
But to have a character like Johnny Frias be something of a hero to me would be amazing. And having a nurse like Lorette Embers, you know, a woman from San Bernardino who cares so tenderly for her patients and who can sing so beautifully, that would be an amazing show, I think, to have someone be able to sing. And in the book, she sings for a fictional community players in Rialto. But I love the idea that our characters from the Inland Empire might end up on TV in a limited series. So let's keep our fingers crossed.
Absolutely. Yeah, I've heard the Hollywood process can be grueling and take a long time and go through a lot of iterations. So I'm looking forward to the Mecca series. That will be wonderful. Susan, it's been wonderful talking with you today, and I'm looking forward to the next in your series.
Well, there's no one I'd rather talk to, Cassie. You know that, because we both love this place so much, but we also love to read, and we do love our landscape. So thanks for having me on again.
That was Inland Empire author Susan Strait in conversation with longtime KVCR contributor Cassie McDuff, speaking mainly about her new book, Sacrament. You can find Susan's works in many bookstores and online retailers. And with that, we wrap up another edition of KVC Arts. Thanks again to Susan Strait and Cassie McDuff. And here at KVCR, thanks to Rick Dulock, Sandy Hodela, Jessica Greenwell, Adam Rainey Ruiz, Diego Munoz, and Shireen Awad. Many past shows can be found through iTunes, Spotify, NPR One, or many other podcast sites, and most past shows are at kvcrnews.org/arts. I'm David Fleming. Thanks especially to you for listening and for your support. Give any time, day or night, at kvcrnews.org/support. And thanks again.